ABC Radio National Breakfast at 18 minutes to 8. Well, the pay packets of federal politicians are about to undergo their biggest shake-up in decades. The Independent Remuneration Tribunal undertaking a comprehensive review of poly pay, which is expected to lead to a sharp increase in a backbencher's salary from $140,000 per annum to almost $250,000 per annum. The wage rise would flow up the chain, increasing the Prime Minister's salary to as much as $650,000 a year. But MPs on the other side may be required to trade in some of their lucrative travel entitlements and office and electorate allowances, which can add 60 grand to a base salary. Andrew Lee is a Labour backbencher who, in his previous life as an economics professor, studied the remuneration of politicians. He's told our political editor, Alison Carabine, that the overseas experience shows better pay equals better performance, but only just.
There's relatively little evidence around on the impact of politicians' pay on who goes into politics, but what there is seems to suggest that you'd get modest impacts. So we have a little bit of evidence out of US governors' salaries suggesting that higher pay bought a governor that was closer to the ideology of the state, and some interesting evidence out of Brazil as well suggesting that higher pay for Brazilian legislators led to people running for politics who had higher levels of education, and interestingly attracted more women to run for parliament. I'm basically an evidence guy, so I don't approach this from thinking from a standpoint of theory. It's those empirical studies that I look to.
But why would women in particular be more attracted to a political career if there was better remuneration?
One possibility is that it's the same reason that you see women responding much more to marginal tax rates than to men. To a first approximation, most Australian blokes are pretty unresponsive in terms of how much they work compared to how much they're taxed. Australian women respond much more. So it may well be that when you're considering a decision like whether you should go into Parliament, potential candidates, female candidates are more responsive to the pay than potential male candidates.
In most occupations, Andrew Lee, there is evidence that bigger pay packets equal a bigger talent pool. You've argued in the past for performance pay for teachers and business leaders. Why not politicians?
Well, certainly I think performance pay is worth looking into in those other occupations. It's not a magic bullet, but it's worth investigating a little further. The challenge, of course, in politics is that determining what is performance is very much in the eye of the beholder. Certainly it has been argued that we already have performance pay. If you don't perform in the next election, you're out and your pay goes down to zero. So that's one way of thinking about performance pay in politics.
Could there also be an argument that if politicians are over-remunerated, then you would be attracting the wrong people to public life, people who are in it just for the money?
It could be. I mean, there's a lovely Max Weber line that one lives for politics or one lives off politics, and Weber was worried that if you raised pay, you would get more people who lived off politics. But that's just conjecture, and when you go to the evidence from the US governor's study and the Brazilian evidence, it looks as though what you're getting is a modest improvement in the talent pool.
You're not arguing, are you, that politicians should be incorporated, paid the proverbial peanuts?
If you want to move into the realm of cliches, you can either say pay peanuts, get monkeys, or you can say big honeypot attracts the wrong kinds of bees. But you know, again, I'm pretty uncomfortable working in the realm of conjecture here. I think it's worth looking at the evidence. The evidence seems to suggest that you're not going to get improvements in the performance of people who are already in the job. What I think you will potentially see is an improvement in the pool of people who run for Parliament in the future, and a modest improvement in that. And for me, I guess the potential of getting more talented women into politics is perhaps the strongest argument here.
The National Senate leader Barnaby Joyce says there's a persuasive case for the Prime Minister, who earns about $366,000 a year, to be bumped up to around the $1 million mark. He makes the point that some football coaches are million-dollar men, and the Prime Minister's job is much more important. But do you believe a hefty pay rise would make any difference at all to the type of people who see themselves as prime ministerial material?
Alison, I guess my view on the Prime Minister's pay is that it's mostly a symbolic issue. I don't think anyone, if they're considering running for Prime Minister, would look at the pay packet. So I think that's really about what message we want to send to the rest of the world. The Prime Minister receives, for example, around a little more, as I recall, than the US President, who I think is on around $250,000. So it's certainly not an ungenerous pay packet at the moment.
Andrew Lee, the Remuneration Tribunal is undertaking a work value assessment of politicians. This is the first comprehensive look at the work and responsibilities of MPs in several decades, but there are no specific job descriptions or benchmarks for MPs. How hard will it be for the tribunal to weigh up the value of a politician's work?
I think it will be a tough job, Alison. I think there's a range of different jobs that you could compare a parliamentarian to. You could think of it as a small town lawyer, a church minister. You might think it has a bit of a social work element, or even a small business owner. And all of those comparisons would lead you to a different place. Frankly, I'm just glad it's them rather than me who are in the position of having to make this judgment. But I think it is useful to go through that comparison exercise.
And that's the Labor MP Andrew Lee. Indeed, it will be up to the Remuneration Tribunal. They'll announce the new wage scales by the end of the year, and legislation passed by the major parties earlier this year means that the Tribunal's decision will be final. Parliament won't be able to reject the pay rise.